China, Mexican cartels, the opioid war against America, is no one paying attention? John Rappaport, August 20, 2021. Plus the forgotten devastating Obama-Congress connection. 2 million severely debilitated opioid addicts in the U.S. Roughly 33,000 deaths per year from opioids. Let's start here. Daily Caller Foundation, August 12, 2021. Officials at the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, have been directed by their headquarters to stop using the term Mexican cartel when speaking with the media, according to an email exclusively obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation from a government official. A portion of the email sent mid-July stated, "Also, we need to now avoid saying Mexican cartel or discussing the Mexican government. Please continue using drug cartel." The guidance came as the Mexican cartels continue surging drugs across the southern border and into the U.S. between October and June. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, seized 358,302 pounds of drugs at the southwest border, including 8,093 pounds of lethal fentanyl. Fentanyl is an opioid. The amount of fentanyl seized at the border has steadily increased throughout the last few years, and the amount seized so far in 2021 has already exceeded what was captured in 2019 and 2020 combined. Sunday Morning Futures host Maria Bartiromo interviewed former acting administrator of the DEA Timothy Shea May 9 about the cartels trafficking drugs across the U.S.-Mexico border. Bartiromo stated that Shea was supposed to be joined by a DEA official, but that the DOJ last minute canceled his appearance. "We actually invited an official from the Drug Enforcement Administration to come on with you," Bartiromo said. "And we thought we would have a conversation, the three of us. But Biden's DOJ squashed it." She added, "They did not want the DEA official to be on to discuss this. So, there is also a media ban on this." The DEA's 2020 drug threat assessment found that Mexican cartels are increasingly responsible for producing and supplying fentanyl to the U.S. market, and that they remain the greatest criminal drug threat in the United States. A senior DEA official in May told NPR that Mexican agencies have become less transparent with the U.S., making it more difficult to combat the threat of Mexican cartels. "We are willing to share intelligence with our counterparts in Mexico, but they themselves are too afraid to even engage with us because of repercussions from their own government if they get caught working with DEA," said Matthew Donahue, DEA Deputy Chief of Operations. So to sum up, don't call the Mexican cartels the Mexican cartels, even though they're killing and addicting and maiming huge numbers of Americans. Even though they're enemy combatants in a war against us, a war which the federal government doesn't want to acknowledge. Part 2. Who would have thought that, in less than a year, the image of the opioid drug, fentanyl, would undergo a facelift, enhancing it from most destructive killer drug in the world to lifesaver in the treatment of COVID patients? And if this PR miracle is not a sufficient stunner, it just so happens that opioid central for illegally trafficking fentanyl to the planet is Wuhan, now the focus of claims that a pandemic virus, that doesn't exist, was born in a lab there. Fake: pandemic transforms fentanyl into vital COVID medication. Fake: pandemic starts in Wuhan. Wuhan is the city where killer drug fentanyl is shipped out to dealers all over the world. High-level operators, focusing on Wuhan, managed to hide, from the world population, the city's global role in killing millions of people with opioids, by claiming a pandemic was born in Wuhan. The only thing you have to know about Wuhan is the virus broke out there. This has all the earmarks of a highly successful cover story. Here's a prime illustration of fentanyl's PR facelift. NJ, New Jersey, Spotlight News, April 14, 2020, no longer a scourge, fentanyl is now a most needed drug in COVID-19 war. Fentanyl, one of the drugs given to patients so they can withstand the pain of having a breathing tube inserted, is in short supply along with a handful of other crucial drugs. The first wave of critical shortages exposed by the coronavirus was medical masks and gowns. Then it was ventilators. Now, a handful of crucial drugs are in short supply in overrun ICUs throughout northern New Jersey and New York City, many of which are needed to use the ventilators. At the top of the list is fentanyl, the deadly synthetic painkiller, 100 times more powerful than morphine, the very drug that has become public enemy number one in the nation's war on opioid addiction. Demand for fentanyl has doubled nationwide and shot up more than 500% in the New York/New Jersey metropolitan region, the current global epicenter of the pandemic. Fentanyl may have been killing people in record numbers on the streets of New Jersey in recent years, but in our hospitals, it is now saving lives. Sure it is. Actually, as I've demonstrated in previous articles, the use of fentanyl and ventilators has killed many patients. This medical protocol amounts to murder. Cityjournal.org, May 12, 2020, Wuhan's other epidemic. Many don't know that Wuhan is also the source of another deadly epidemic, America's fentanyl overdoses. Over the past decade, Wuhan has emerged as the global headquarters for fentanyl production. The city's chemical and pharmaceutical manufacturers hide production of the drug within their larger, licit manufacturing operations, then ship it abroad using deliberately mislabeled packaging, concealment techniques, and a complex network of forwarding addresses. According to a recent ABC News report, huge amounts of these mail-order, fentanyl, components can be traced to a single, state-subsidized company in Wuhan. The Atlantic, August 18, 2019. The Brazen Way, a Chinese company pumped fentanyl ingredients into the U.S., by Ben Westhoff. According to Bryce Pardo, a fentanyl expert at the RAND Corporation, the two most commonly used fentanyl precursors, think of them as ingredients, are chemicals called NPP and 4-ANPP. When I first started researching them, in early 2017, advertisements for the chemicals were all over the internet, from a wide variety of different companies. Later, I determined that the majority of those companies were under the Yuan Cheng Company umbrella. Posing as a buyer, I answered an online advertisement for fentanyl precursors and was put in touch with a Yuan Cheng salesman who called himself Sean. We arranged to meet at the company's main office in Wuhan, in the Wuzhong district, near a busy subway station in a blue-collar neighborhood. Fox Business, March 31, 2017. Headline: DEA, Made in China Lethal Opioid Fueling U.S. Drug Epidemic. A homemade designer version of fentanyl, the highly addictive opioid which is similar to morphine but is 50 to 100 times more potent, has been the center of drug busts across the country this month, with law enforcement pinpointing its origin from underground labs in China. The DEA says the China-US supply is further fueling the country's drug epidemic. This Chinese stuff is unbelievably potent. It is so powerful that even a tiny amount can kill you, DEA spokesman Rusty Payne tells Fox Business. China is by far the most significant manufacturer of illicit designer synthetic drugs. There is so much manufacturing of new drugs, it's amazing what is coming out of China. Hundreds of versions, including synthetic fentanyl and fentanyl-based compounds. China only made the drug, fentanyl, illegal in 2015, and at that point black market Chinese labs began increasing production of their own versions, including the one turning up recently across the country, the US, called Furanyl fentanyl. While heroin gets harder to buy on the street or from a dealer, fentanyl comes via FedEx, Brad Lamb, CEO of Intervention.com, tells Fox Business. Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez announced this week details on a mail-order furanyl fentanyl smuggling ring bust. The operation had been bringing the drug, which has been dubbed White China, into the U.S. from Asia. NYPD Chief of Detective Bob Boyce said that this was the first time investigators have seen this type of fentanyl in New York City. Also this week, Cincinnati Customs and Border Protection agents said they seized 83 shipments of illegal synthetic drugs, including 36 pounds of furanyl fentanyl, from China. The Boston Globe, 2017, an extremely powerful drug used as an elephant tranquilizer has quickly become a new killer in the nation's opioid epidemic, and New England authorities and health workers are bracing for its arrival. The drug, carfentanil, is a synthetic opioid that is 10,000 times stronger than morphine and 100 times more potent than fentanyl, another deadly synthetic opioid. The Drug Enforcement Administration has issued a nationwide alert about the drug, which its acting chief called crazy dangerous. In Massachusetts, state police have warned their crime lab staff about how to handle carfentanil during analysis. Even inhaling the drug or absorbing it through a cut can be fatal. Law enforcement and health officials believe most users do not know they are ingesting carfentanil, which apparently is often mistakenly thought to be heroin or a mixture of heroin and fentanyl, a weaker but still lethal synthetic opioid. If carfentanil's trade route is similar to that of fentanyl, the path stretches from Chinese manufacturers to Mexican processors to smugglers who supply dealers in the United States, law enforcement officials said. There is no quality control, so when it gets here the distributors don't know what they have and the user has no idea, said Timothy Desmond, a special agent with the New England division of the DEA. That's where it's a game of Russian roulette. Hamilton County officials are baffled by the marketing strategy behind such a lethal drug. It doesn't really make sense that you would want to kill your customers, Fallon said. Law enforcement officials also are concerned that carfentanil will harm first responders. The DEA has warned police not to conduct field tests on seized drugs that might contain carfentanil. Instead, the agency urged officers to secure their samples and deliver them only to colleagues with training and equipment to handle the drug. In 2020-21, the opioid catastrophe continues. And its number one trafficking source, Wuhan, is famous only for birthing a pandemic that doesn't exist because the virus causing it has never been proven to exist. The pandemic is a cover story for the ages. Wuhan, the lab? No, the other Wuhan nobody is talking about, opioid trafficking headquarters for death and destruction. Part 3. There are several major pharmaceutical companies who faced heavy exposure for their roles in the opioid criminal trafficking business. For example, Purdue, and Johnson & Johnson. A third one is, Mossad connected, Teva. If you could offer Warren Buffett an ice cream cone with a truth serum cherry on top, it would be interesting to ask him whether the PR campaign to push opioids as life-saving COVID treatments helped stabilize his 42,789,295 shares of beleaguered Teva, worth $412,916,000. Why can't federal law enforcement stop all the U.S. pharmaceutical companies who have been trafficking opioids? Is there some secret we don't know about? In fact, the answers are right out in the open. I had them confirmed over a year ago, from a source inside federal law enforcement. But talk about open, the Washington Post laid out the sordid story in detail. And as usual, there was no follow-up. That's how major media work. They have a piece of very ugly truth. They expose it. But then it mysteriously dies and is forgotten. In this case, opioid trafficking, a real follow-up would have led the public down into a hell of evil influence, exerted by pharma, on the U.S. Congress. Buckle up. A 2016 law signed by Obama shackled the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, in its efforts to crack down on big pharma opioid traffickers. That law is the Ensuring Patient Access and Effective Drug Enforcement Act of 2016, passed by Congress and signed by President Obama on April 9, 2016. And that is the federal government's role in perpetuating and expanding the opioid crisis. Honest agents inside the complacent DEA want to have the right to march into a pharmaceutical company headquarters and say, "We know you're shipping millions of opioid pills to little pharmacies and clinics that, in turn, are selling the pills to street dealers. We're going to freeze those shipments now, and we're going to arrest your key executives." But that 2016 law raises the bar so high, the whole law enforcement effort is hamstrung, throttled, and loaded down with legal complications. In essence, the U.S. Congress gave drug companies a free pass. And no one in the Congress is admitting it or talking about it. The Washington Post, on October 15, 2017, talked about it. The article was headlined, "The Drug Industry's Triumph Over the DEA," in April 2016, at the height of the deadliest drug epidemic in U.S. history. Congress effectively stripped the Drug Enforcement Administration of its most potent weapon against large drug companies suspected of spilling prescription, opioid, narcotics onto the nation's streets. A handful of members of Congress, allied with the nation's major drug distributors, prevailed upon the DEA and the Justice Department to agree to a more industry-friendly law, undermining efforts to staunch the flow of pain pills, according to an investigation by The Washington Post and 60 Minutes. The law, which was passed with an overwhelming yes count by both houses of Congress, was the crowning achievement of a multifaceted campaign by the drug industry to weaken aggressive DEA enforcement efforts against drug distribution, pharma, companies that were supplying corrupt doctors and pharmacists who peddled opioid narcotics to the black market. The drug industry worked behind the scenes with lobbyists and key members of Congress to pass the 2016 law, pouring more than $1 million into their election campaigns. The new 2016 law makes it virtually impossible for the DEA to freeze suspicious narcotic shipments from the companies, according to internal agency and Justice Department documents and an independent assessment by the DEA's chief administrative law judge in a soon-to-be-published Law Review article. That powerful tool, freezing opioid shipments, had, previously, allowed the agency to immediately prevent drugs from reaching the street. The Washington Post article mentioned there was an attempt to reach Obama, who had signed the law, and obtain his comments. The effort failed. Obama kept his mouth shut. Everyone is now aware of the law's horrendous impact. Why doesn't the Congress repeal it? The fact that no one is stepping up to the plate with a fast repeal is proof that multiple parts of the federal government are, in fact, tacitly supporting the opioid crisis and its devastating impacts on human life. Failure to act swiftly amounts to collusion in death by opioids. President Obama, the Congress, and key officials within the Justice Department and the DEA are all guilty. If you speak to people who have a naive and lasting faith in the goodwill of political leaders, they will probably tell you that the heinous 2016 law I detailed above was an unfortunate mistake. The members of Congress didn't know what they were voting for. And somehow, that lets everyone off the hook. Really? Congress has known what they voted for, if indeed they were all ignorant back in 2016, for the past 5 years. So why haven't they repealed the law? Why haven't they remedied their error? Why have they let untold numbers of people die for years while staying silent? Why hasn't the whole Congress risen up to squash the mistake? They could do it in an hour. Obviously, they don't want to admit their prior guilt. They don't want an investigation which, if done with even a vague imitation of honesty, would expose some of their members as willing and knowing collaborators in death. They don't want to admit that the pharma campaign money they take is sufficient inducement to fake a blindness to the death they're assigning to their own constituents and people all over America. On the condition of anonymity, an insider with intimate knowledge of the opioid crime network spoke with me. He is not a participant or a criminal. He has spent years exposing the network. My initial question was, how could a corrupt little pharmacy or medical clinic in a small town, in the middle of nowhere, sell, as reported, a million opioid pills a year? Here is the answer my source confirmed: a criminal doctor or doctors are writing 75 to 100 opioid prescriptions a day like clockwork, patients are flooding in from all over the country, many of them flying in once a month, they are sold the opioid prescriptions, and either fill them right there in the clinic, or take them to a friendly pharmacy. These patients are actually dealers. They return home and sell the pills to addicts. Where do the small clinics and pharmacies obtain the huge number of opioid pills? From distributors. These are legitimate companies. They may distribute all sorts of medicines. It's their business. They know they are committing egregious crimes. Where do these big distributors obtain their opioid pills? From pharmaceutical companies who manufacture them. The manufacturers and the distributors have an ongoing relationship. They know exactly what they're doing. They know the bulk of the product is going into street sales. The distributors and the manufacturers are drug traffickers. There is no doubt about this. No one is making a mistake. No one is in the dark. No one is being fooled. When the DEA tries to clamp down on opioid manufacturers, this is not a sudden action, as some manufacturers try to claim. The DEA has already made several prior visits and has tried to convince the manufacturers to stop what they're doing, to no avail. I suggested to my source that the opioid distributors and their suppliers, the pharma manufacturers, have a nudge and a wink relationship. He quickly told me it was far more than that. He left no doubt in my mind that these relationships are undertaken and maintained with full knowledge about the trafficking enterprise these partners are engaged in. He pointed out that the 2016 law referenced above, passed by Congress, radically changed the conditions under which the DEA could immediately freeze huge and obviously criminal shipments of opioids. It's not a slam dunk anymore. Far from it. Before imposing a freeze, instead of simply showing that the criminal shipment poses an imminent threat of death or grave harm to users, the DEA now has to demonstrate there is an immediate threat. This word game means the DEA must establish that people could die, not next week or next month, imminent, but right now, immediate. If this seems logically absurd and intentionally perverse, it is. Obviously, immediate is designed to give rise to back and forth debate, legalistic challenges, long postponements, and ultimately a straitjacket preventing decisive actions against opioid distributors and manufacturers. The Washington Post reached out to Obama, who signed the 2016 law, and his then Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, the highest law enforcement officer in the nation. The DEA is organized under the Attorney General and the Department of Justice. Both Obama and Lynch declined to discuss the law. Naturally. Who played a central role in crafting the law and pushing it through Congress? The Post, deeply involved in the effort to help the drug industry, was the DEA's former associate chief counsel, D. Lyndon Barber. While at the DEA, he helped design and carry out the early stages of the agency's tough enforcement campaign, which targeted drug companies that were failing to report suspicious orders of narcotics. What? Barber worked against the drug industry while employed by the DEA, and then he left the agency and turned around and attacked it. The Post, when Barber went to work for the drug industry, he now works for Cardinal Health. In 2011, he brought an intimate knowledge of the DEA's strategy and how it could be attacked to protect the drug companies. He was one of dozens of DEA officials recruited by the drug industry during the past decade. Barber played a key role in crafting an early version of the legislation, the 2016 law, that would eventually curtail the DEA's power, according to an internal email written by a Justice Department official to a colleague. He, Barber, wrote the bill, the official wrote in 2014. The opioid crime network extends to Congress, former, if not present, DEA employees, medical drug distribution companies, and pharmaceutical manufacturers. It then includes medical clinics and pharmacies and prescription writing doctors. The murderous network is addicting, maiming, and killing Americans in huge numbers. The link to this article posted on John's blog is here, with sources. Follow John on Gab at John Rappaport.